Hi everyone, it's Diane with New Jersey Revolution Radio. I'm so happy to have our guest this evening is Alana Carrivo-Kaufman, and she is the Regional Field Director with Jewish Voice for Peace. First, I just want to do our quick plug and get that out of the way. We are totally driven by your individual donations. So please, any small amount whatsoever, please go to njrevolutionradio.com and find our donation link and help support independent media. So, Alana, thanks so much for being here this evening with us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
And I know one thing we wanted to talk about. Well, let's first talk about your role with Jewish Voice for Peace. What is your duties and where do you work out of?
So I am a regional organizer with Jewish Voice for Peace. And so that just basically means that I have the job of getting to support our grassroots organizing. So I have been doing that work in the East Coast region. So I'm based out of New York City. I'm actually originally from Columbus, Ohio. So I'm a Midwesterner out here on the East Coast for over a decade. But it means that I get to support, we have over 70 chapters across the country. We're a membership-based organization. We believe that grassroots power, people getting together, can change U.S. policy. That's what we're about. And so I get to work with local chapters, like our chapter in Northern New Jersey, which is, I know how we got connected. But we have 70 chapters like that across the country. Do trainings, support people to run local campaigns, engage with their congressional representatives, and a whole host of other things.
Okay. And how many chapters is in your region that you are a field director for?
So there's 15 chapters of Jewish Voice for Peace on the east, in the East Coast region, and 70 across the country.
Okay. And I understand you guys have a very important event coming up, and locally for our North Jersey viewers. So let me see. It's on Sunday, December 9th, and that is at the Montclair Fire Headquarters. That's on Pine Street in Montclair. And so I understand this is going to be a panel discussion about BDS and about Israel and anti-Semitism. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I think it could also sort of be called demystifying or taking on some of the myths around boycott, divestment, and sanctions, which is a Palestinian-led grassroots call, an opportunity really for everyone to be able to be part of a movement for justice and equality for Palestinians. So demystifying some of the things that people might have heard about BDS, and really talking about the importance of this grassroots movement, and talking about, you know, what is actual anti-Semitism, and what are some of the maybe myths that have been heard or been perpetuated about anti-Semitism in relationship to this grassroots movement, which Jewish Voice for Peace is part of, and is really an anti-oppressive movement that works against racism and anti-Semitism and sexism, and for a really core thing, which is equality for all people and human rights for Palestinians.
And how do you feel that, because I do consider myself a Palestinian solidarity activist. Mm-hmm. I am aware but still learning every day about boycott, divest, and sanction, about that movement and how we can participate and get the word out. But how would you say, how do we handle the allegations that can be thrown at us when we are trying to support Palestinian solidarity and support the BDS movement? what would you say to our viewers? What do we do?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that one of the most important things for us to be able to, I think, both make the type of powerful change that we want to make. So I think actually supporting Palestinian-led movement for Palestinian freedom, that's huge, right? To actually achieve that would be huge. And so to sustain that work, we need to be in community. We need to be organizing in groups with other people and in a connected way. And so then that's the sort of first piece. And so then I would also say that talking to the people that you're organizing with, learning together about the history of the call for BDS, about the organizations that have signed on to it, about the history of different boycott movements across history, you know, what the connections are and what was learned out of the boycott of South Africa, and then also learning about the differences between, you know, what anti-Semitism is as a form of oppression and sometimes violence and what it isn't. So doing that learning together and talking to each other is, I think, a really important way to sort of break through some of the myths and also support each other as activists and as organizers to learn and to grow and to also be stronger in our organizing and clearer about the fact that support for Palestinian rights is absolutely not anti-Semitic. And there's a lot of anti-Semitism in this world, and we've all learned it in some way. And so we do actually need to know how to unlearn it and be able to know what it is. So I would say that the first thing would just be, you know, maybe having a study group or, you know, space for conversation. But for people out there who aren't connected to community, I would say the first step is maybe you can come to Montclair on Sunday and find that community. Or, you know, or look to other places in your community to really be organizing with people.
Sure. So just trying to open up discussions and, you know, have a welcoming space where people can, if they are concerned, because, you know, there's a lot of, even with our local, state, and federal government, there's a movement to have anti-BDS legislation, and some people will put it under the rubric of anti-Semitism. So we need to get some discussions going. Can you give us a little bit of the history of the BDS movement? How long has it been around?
So the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions movement was a Palestinian call starting in 2005. And it is supported by over 130 Palestinian civil society groups out of Palestine. And it's a global call. So it's for everyone and anyone to participate in around the globe to participate in boycott, divestment, and sanctions for Palestinian freedom. So I think that's a really important part, that it's really important to talk about what we're working for. And so the three core platforms of and goals of this global movement are to end the occupation of Palestinian land, for there to be equal rights for Palestinian citizens of Israel. 25% of the citizens of Israel are not Jewish and have different levels of rights based on a variety of things. And also for there to be a right to return for refugees who were displaced in 1948 on the creation of the State of Israel. So those are the three core demands, which are about the various human rights and core demands of Palestinian people who are under occupation, living within 48 or the State of Israel, and who are refugees. And so the goal of every campaign, so we just had a really exciting win. Airbnb decided to pull out of the settlements after a lot of pressure. Airbnb is a company under pressure for a lot of things, and one of them was for operating in the West Bank, in the settlements in the West Bank. And so they were under a lot of pressure and pulled out. So that's a huge win for the BDS movement, and a thing that, you know, people could participate in globally, mm-hmm. putting pressure on BDS. And so the hope and the goal and what's really happened and is really powerful is that there's so many ways to participate in so many different countries and contexts.
Yeah, I was so happy to hear about the Airbnb decision they made. Did they put out an official statement? You know, I heard about it in my social media networks and, you know, right away, it hit everywhere. But I didn't notice if Airbnb put out a statement. Are you aware?
That's a great question. I mean, I know that it's official. Mm-hmm. I could follow up with you if you want more information about sort of what exactly they've said, but I know that it is official that they are not going to be operating anymore in the settlements.
And that's what we wanted. So it shows the power of a movement like BDS. It's beautiful, right?
Yeah. It's really exciting. It's really huge and really exciting.
And what would you say for our viewers? What are the top boycotts? Because I know there's a couple of major companies that, and if you want to give us a little bit of info about the why and the what, because I know, like, for instance, with HP, it goes beyond manufacturing. It also has something to do with the technologies they have created that assist the IDF with, you may know better than I do. So if you want to give us a little bit of a spiel, for instance, about HP or any of the other campaigns under the BDS movement.
Sure. Yeah. So we talked a little bit about boycotts. So mm-hmm. boycotts of companies like Airbnb that are operating in either the settlements or causing harm in mm-hmm. in Israel, in the occupied territories, and in Israel proper, 48. So HP is a good example of a corporation. And again, I think it's important to tell these stories because these mm-hmm. are the reason, like you said, that we're doing this work, who actually makes the ID cards. So there are multiple ways that Palestinian freedom of movement is controlled within the Israeli apartheid system. So one mm-hmm. of them is through ID cards, which grant different levels of access to freedom of movement for Palestinians. And HP produces those ID cards. HP also produces a number of different surveillance materials that are used within the apartheid wall and that are used at checkpoints, which separate sometimes, you know, parts of a Palestinian, you know, town or village from another part of it. And also that people have to travel to if they, for example, live in the West Bank and work in Jerusalem or are going to see family. And there are some powerful campaigns going on against HP mm-hmm. across the country mm-hmm. that you can be part of. And again, I think that the real power of global grassroots movement is both that everyone can plug in and also that mm-hmm. While there are sometimes consumer targets, the power of the movements is also being connected to each other. And so I would really encourage people to find places and groups that they can connect to or that they can, maybe bring in education about how an organization that you're part of could support BDS. Some different things that have been happening that have been exciting are, a lot of student groups on campuses have been pushing their universities to divest, which is also, a thing that's really important around work around climate change and various other social and progressive issues, and historically was one of the huge ways that the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa gained steam. So if you are part of a labor union, you could pass a resolution in support of Palestinian freedom and equality through supporting boycott, divestment, and sanctions. If you are a student, you can get involved with other students on campus on pushing your university to say that they're going to actually divest their resources at an institutional level. So those are some of the ways that people can get connected, as well as definitely sort of learning more. You can learn more about the different campaigns that Jewish Voice for Peace is running at jvp.org. You can also go to the bdsmovement.net to learn more about global campaigns, or check out the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights. They have a lot of locally affiliated groups that you could get connected to.
Okay, excellent. And what is Jewish Voice for Peace doing in regards to anti-BDS legislation that's been popping up? Because we have it everywhere in New Jersey, from municipalities trying to enact. Some people may not be aware that New Jersey, right now, we have a piece of anti-BDS legislation that relates to, I believe it's how our pensions are linked. So there are things that are already going on. And is Jewish Voice for Peace involved with trying to combat any of these? And I know the federal government, if you want to touch on that, the current anti-BDS legislation that is out there, and even our New Jersey senators are not
Hi, Diane, are you there?
Oh, did you lose me? Sorry, can you hear me?
I did. I think I got your question. Can you hear me now?
Okay. Did you get the question? Sorry.
I did. So, yeah, okay. There's a really concerning backlash, I would say, to the groundswell of support for Palestinian rights that we're seeing across the country. And these attacks on free speech that are happening through legislation that is trying to curtail the free speech of activists who support Palestinian rights and who use boycotts, which are a constitutionally protected form of free speech, as well as just a really powerful tool of movements like the Movement for Palestinian Rights, the movement, the anti-apartheid movement, the Black Freedom Movement in the South. These are constitutional rights, and it's really concerning that they've been attacked by legislation that is trying to curtail the movement. And I think the reason for that is that we're really seeing a huge growth of criticism of Israel and support for Palestinian rights. We see it in terms of the shifts in the Democratic Party. We see it in opinion polls, growing numbers of young people, of women, of people of color, are more critical of Israel and are expecting their politicians to be as well, and their representatives. But right now, who's in office, especially in state legislation, as well as at a federal level, hasn't quite caught up with those shifts. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, who is representing us doesn't totally represent the progressive base. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think we're seeing this regressive legislation, and we're seeing these attacks on the movement through legislation. It's an attempt to squash and curtail the growing movement. We have been involved in fighting this legislation at a federal level as well as across the country. And there is another website called where you can go to get information about both your rights as well as just sort of what's going on with the fights against this legislation, which is righttoboycott.org. So that's a collaboration between Jewish Voice for Peace, a group called Palestine Legal, which is a great resource for any organizers or activists who are facing any repression or threats or intimidation from their organizing. And it's really unfortunate that this legislation has passed, and it's concerning not just for the movement for Palestinian rights, it's concerning for all of our progressive movements, because this is really a wedge into repression of free speech and repression of political activism. And so it is, is concerning, and we're working against it. The ACLU has been working against it. And at a federal level, it is really concerning. I think that you were referencing, there's a federal piece of legislation that's about boycotts. And then there's also a federal piece of legislation that has the false name, I would say, the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. It's not actually about anti-Semitism. We've been calling it the Silencing Students Act. It's a piece of legislation that is trying to define criticism of Israel as anti-Semitism, which is really deeply concerning at a moment when we actually are seeing a rise of anti-Semitism and white nationalism, for the focus to be about criticism of Israel as anti-Semitism. And so a very concerning development in the last 2 weeks is that Cory Booker signed on to this legislation when he had previously not been supporting it. So that is definitely something that people could call his office and express strong concern about.
Okay, and that is called the Anti-Semitism. What is the trick name?
The official name for it is the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, but it is better called the Silencing Student Act, because it does not actually, you know, anyone who's concerned about anti-Semitism should be concerned that this bill is not focusing on anti-Semitism, but is focusing only on criticism of Israel and redefining that as anti-Semitism.
Wow. Yeah, and, you know, we should be allowed to criticize a government just like, you know, as many of us right now are criticizing the Trump administration. We can separate out criticizing a government from anti-Semitism and oppression of people. It's too separate. And that's what I'm wondering, if some of this leaning towards, like you were talking about, you know, that they'll use language to lure people in, because it's like, of course, who would not want to be opposed to anti-Semitism? But, and it's sad, because it was the Republicans for years would do, you know, Operation Freedom and, you know, the doublespeak of language. So now it seems that even our Democrats are getting on board with trickery, to pick hot topics to make people feel uncomfortable. But we definitely have to separate this out, that you can be critical of a government without being critical of the people.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's really important. And, you know, what we're seeing on campuses as well as off campuses is that, these tools of oppression are being used first and foremost to, you know, attack Palestinian and who are standing up for their own rights, as well as Muslim and Arab folks first and foremost, who are already under surveillance in different ways. And also, I would say that it's really not good for Jews. It's really bad for the Jews, to use the phrase that is sometimes used, to be talking about anti-Semitism only as criticism is of Israel. It's really irresponsible in a moment where there is a rise of anti-Semitism and far-right nationalism. It's really irresponsible and misguided, and a really horrible use of your power as a public servant. And it serves to only create more surveillance and attack for people who are already under attack. And it doesn't make Jews safer. It makes us actually much less safe.
And what is it that with this legislation and other things that are going on that is happening? I know, you know, we're touching on the issue with college students and surveillance. And I just became recently aware of a website that has names of groups from anything from Jewish Voice for Peace, and I believe it's the Council on American Islamic Relations. But what was even more frightening was the fact that this was a website that I don't even, I'm glad I don't have the name at my fingertips right now, because I don't want to give them any more traffic but and attention, but they also had volumes of individual names, and a lot of it was students of Palestinian background who are activists. So is this connected? Is this related to what this legislation is about and surveilling our youth today?
Yeah, I mean, so I would say that is one other element of repression that is a pushback against the fact that, you know, young people overwhelmingly are supporting Palestinian rights and are critical of Israel and are often understanding in pretty clear ways, you know, that, like you said before, right, you can be critical of Israel and you can be proud to be Jewish, you can be critical of Israel and you can be an ally in fighting anti-Semitism the same way you're an ally in fighting other things like transphobia or sexism. So that there's just a growing support for this among young people. And so this website, I would say, is another form of repression against that, and is an attempt of pro-occupation and pro-apartheid and pro-Israel advocates to use intimidation to make people intimidated to stand up and to make it easier for people to be vulnerable to surveillance or to repression, whether it's from their schools or whether it's from, you know, trying to go home and visit family in Israel-Palestine. I would say if there's anyone listening who's concerned, first of all, the resources I said before, Palestine Legal is a great resource if you are concerned. And also, you know, they're trying to intimidate people, you know, and say that they won't get jobs. This is not necessarily true. And there are resources out there to support folks who have gone on there, as well as, you know, resources to sort of have some digital security around sort of what you post online. And also we have to, you know, support each other and know that this is a pushback against the groundswell of support for this movement.
And it's so sad because social media can be used to get information out about these movements that aren't getting attention from the mainstream media. But then at the same time, especially if we have young, you know, college age activists have to be fearful that they're getting put on a list just from posting things on Facebook, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. That is what is really concerning about this website.
Yeah. So are you aware of the website that I'm referring to? I guess there's probably more of them then.
Well, I mean, I think that you're referring to Canary Mission. I would say if you want more information about it, you don't need to go to Canary Mission. You could go to website againstcanarymission.org, which is a coalition of groups that are working to support students, to pressure universities, to really, you know, not utilize this website in any way, as well as provide resources for students who are concerned. Jewish Voice for Peace also put out a kind of helpful, I would say, video on Facebook. You can go and look for that, just about Canary Mission spreading lies, because that's what they're doing. So it's helpful to maybe share that and let other people know that this is, you know, not at all a reputable website. Yeah, it's very concerning.
Yeah, absolutely. I was in complete shock at the numbers and of individuals, and knowing that it's so many young people that, you know, they may, like we were talking about, they may still have family in Palestine and want to try to go back home and visit and get detained and deported. 'Cause I know Jewish Voice for Peace is on one of the lists that came out however many months ago that was, when there was a backlash, because it seems like the more chummy that Netanyahu and Trump get, the more backlash the activists and activist groups get. And there was that whole list of orgs that have been alerted that they're going to have difficulty getting in to Israel, which is the way you get to the West Bank. So I can just imagine that, you know, something like, what is it called again? Canary Mission. Yeah. So that might be used to just another way of grabbing people. And, you know, it's restricting our movement. It's restricting our speech. It's absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, definitely is.
Yeah. I guess if there's any other information you want to give to our viewers, and what is the best way to get full information about the BDS movement? Is there one website, would you say, to connect with the different websites you've mentioned earlier?
Yeah, so for anywhere in the world, so bdsmovement.net is the central site for where you can learn about anything and everything about the movement for Palestinian freedom, justice, and equality, and how you can get engaged through supporting boycott, divestment, and sanctions. So I would say to go there.
Okay, excellent. Just to be clear. Okay, so it is December 9th, 2 to 4 in Montclair, and I look forward to being there and hearing the presentation. Who else do we have at this in the panel?
So it's Michael Lesher, who is a journalist and a member of Northern New Jersey Jewish Voice for Peace, me and Ahmad Awad, who is a law student and who actually was blocked from starting a Students for Justice in Palestine chapter. So faced some of the very repression that we were just talking about.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it sounds like it's going to be a great panel. So everybody, definitely, I hope to see you there Sunday, December 9th, 2 to 4.
Sunday, December 9th.
2 to 4 in Montclair. Well, thank you so much for your time, Alana.
Yeah, it was great to meet you. I will see you then.
See you in a week and a half.
Okay, bye.
Okay, take care. Bye.